Well, as we've told you, the violence in downtown Seattle on the streets has led to a rather radical decision. The main entrance to the King County Courthouse is on 3rd Avenue, and I saw, when I served jury duty this last summer, I saw what it was like out there. People screaming, people walking around like zombies, bodies over the hoods of police cars. It was a mess. And last week, a defense attorney was randomly, brutally attacked by a guy who had just come up here from Georgia, because you know we're the best place in the country to be a drug street vagrant. And then a bus driver who tried to help was also brutally attacked. And that has led to a radical decision. They're going to close the 3rd Avenue entrance to the King County Courthouse, which is just mind-boggling to me. That instead of cleaning up the streets, we're closing the main entrance to the courthouse. Presiding Court Judge, Superior Court Judge Jim Rogers, he joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. Your Honor, thanks for coming back on with me.
Dory, thank you for having me again, and I appreciate you bringing attention to this issue.
Why in the world wouldn't we clean up the streets instead of cutting and running and leaving the streets to the criminals and moving where the metal detectors and the bag scanners are up to 4th Avenue at the courthouse?
Yeah, so I don't think it's an either-or. The decision to close the courthouse, which you rightly said, was done this Monday. I entered an order to that effect after I came in on Monday, the Monday after those assaults you just talked about against a defense attorney and Metro bus driver, and our judges were in an uproar. This has been going on for some time. It's getting steadily worse. And we're closing the courthouse just for a short period because of our safety concerns, but also to get everyone convened together. And now there are multiple conversations going on in order to address the security situation. In our view, as soon as that is addressed, the order is good until New Year's, but it could be we could open the 3rd Avenue when appropriate, could be earlier. And I think that it will be addressed. Then we'll start going again. There's already increased police presence outside, I think. The message has been heard.
Why did it take a defense attorney getting attacked for an increased police presence? Because I saw what it was like down there when I served jury duty this summer. It was obvious that it's a mess. And it seems like it took a friend of the court getting attacked before we get increased police presence. There have been a lot of people attacked down there.
Yeah, there's an editorial today by the executive director of the King County Bar noting there's been 160 assaults in the first 10 months of 2019 in that area. You know, I think that our city has focused areas of crime. If you go up two blocks up on the 5th Avenue, it's like a different country. And
yes,
you walk back down to 3rd, it's amazing how localized some of the stuff is.
Yeah, let me just follow up on that, because what I said
on my show.
I don't want to engage in hyperbole and say it's a third world nation down there. It's not. But it's not a first world nation on that block. I mean, for that block, it is a mess. And it's not what we should have in a city like Seattle, a place like King County. So I got to ask.
You're preaching to the choir.
But who's to blame? Who's to blame for this?
You know, you'll anticipate this answer. I'm less interested in who's to blame and more interested in getting solutions to this problem. And I actually do think that there will be solutions to this problem, because I know, in fact, as we're speaking, there are conversations going on about getting it safer between all the police agencies, the county executive, the county council, and the mayor's office. But I do think my point on how different it is I think some people actually didn't see it, didn't appreciate how serious it is.
Gets back to my question, Your Honor, and you're right, I did not like your answer, because unless we understand the root cause of something, I don't know that we can best fix it. And identifying who has allowed this to happen, and if we don't identify that, how in the world can we logically fix this?
Yeah, I agree. And I think one of the answers is to have more consistent security presence out there. And I think that's one of the things that's being discussed. I think these things wax and wane on 3rd Avenue. I don't think that it's a constant state all the time. Some days you go down there and it's pretty clear, pretty quiet. Other days you go down there and it's very bad. And I think that the attack on the defense attorney and the Metro bus driver, he attacked two people. I think what happened with that was it was caught on video, which so oftentimes is such a more vivid message. I receive all the reports of all the assaults.
No, I know.
I think sometimes the bare report, it's just they keep coming and they keep coming. But when you see a video like that, I think maybe that helped crystallize what happened. So I think it was less about the fact that it was a defense attorney and more about the fact that everyone could see it. It was on the news. I think that really helped.
Okay. I asked the question, because this guy came up here from Georgia. And yep. It has long been my contention that we have made our region a magnet destination because we are the location of least resistance for drug street vagrants. And the word is out. You can shoplift in downtown Seattle. You can commit property crimes and you won't do any time. You can shoot up heroin on the street and the prosecutor has said he won't charge you if it's a personal possession amount. And that's where we got to get down to the root cause of this. And that's where, you know, somebody needs to speak out and say, here's why this is happening. And that's why I want, you know, that's my first question is, why is this happening?
Yeah. Well, you won't surprise you to hear me say as a judge that I'm not really in the same position as someone who's on a city council, a county council, or the executive or the mayor's office to speak out about what kind of policy should be put in place to deal with the opioid epidemic that is open and obvious on Third Avenue in front of the courthouse. That's just not what I do for a living.
Okay.
What I do is I address cases as they come before me. But I can address a safety situation in front of the courthouse because, as you've said many times on your show, you know, justice should be open for everyone. People can be scared to come down. Jurors, litigants, people who need justice, their case to be heard.
Okay, well, let's talk about what you do for a living, because, and I brought this up with you a couple of weeks ago, we do have what seems to be a revolving door of justice. We have people who are recidivists, sometimes 50, 75 arrests, and they're kicked back on the streets. And what I view is an increasing leftist judges who have somehow believed that what's best for the criminal is the highest priority and not what's best for the society. And so, you know, I have to ask, I mean, some of your colleagues have declared that they are resistance in a robe. That is a quote from a King County judge. And are leftist judicial policies contributing to this problem?
Well, let me answer that in two ways. First of all, let me say that to the extent that that judges who are elected officials, contribute to people who are violent being out, we should accept the blame for that. That's part of our job to evaluate people who are potentially violent. Oftentimes, decisions are made in the rear view, as we talked about with Mr. Chilcott,
right,
where it's just not, you can't anticipate that somebody's going to do something who's in front of you. Let me also say this. It used to be that the view was to lock everybody up for basically every crime. And in the 90s and in this century, basically there's been a uniting of liberal and conservative views that's too expensive and not effective. So the nonviolent, and we're talking about violent people here, you are, the nonviolent criminals, people are looking for other solutions that will break the recidivism cycle.
Okay.
And they're looking for drug treatment, things like that. But
right, no, I understand
violent
that.
People, that's a different issue.
But you said locking people up, and what I'm talking about are these recidivists, the 100 most common lawbreakers in Seattle.
And I think you're also talking about people who are violent.
Well, in many cases, but they're yeah, getting kicked through and they're getting put back on the streets after 75 priors. And you say there's a consensus that locking people up doesn't work. I think there's a consensus that what we're doing now is not working. All you have to do is look at Third Avenue right outside the courthouse. And so when I hear, yeah, locking people up didn't work, and I look at what we're doing now and the results on the streets, I know with a certainty that the path we're on now doesn't work.
Yeah. And I'm not going to take a strong position against you here. I think what has to happen is you need real programs that are stringently evaluated to see whether they keep people off drugs and out of the criminal justice system in order for it to work. You need to be really, really careful with the kind of resources you're devoting towards trying to break that cycle. You know, a famous superintendent or warden of the Walla Walla State Penitentiary once said that the penal system is a graveyard of failed experiments. And so it's constantly important that we reevaluate what's working and what's not working. And I'm not going to argue with you that we have a serious problem on Third. Obviously, I agree. I closed the courthouse on that exit and entrance, and we need to deal with
it. Right. I find it a little ironic that there are sirens blaring behind you as we speak right now.
Yeah, right. So that's a constant out here.
Yeah.
So, as you know. So what I'm saying, though, is we're focused on keeping it safe and nonviolent on the blocks in front of the King County Courthouse. And frankly, going down south and north where people are trying to take mass transit to get into the King County Courthouse, the train.
Right. I'm with you on that.
Yeah,
we only have 30 seconds left. This is the King County Courthouse. Jenny Durkin's missing in action. Where's Dow Constantine? I mean, he has three armed sheriff's personnel solely assigned to guard him and drive him around, which is outrageous to me. But I haven't heard one word from Dow Constantine on what's going on at the King County Courthouse. Where's he in all this?
Well, I can't speak for him, but I will say that I'm aware that there are conversations going on with both governments, the City of Seattle and the executive. And I'm frankly aware that Mayor Durkin is taking active steps right now, too. So I think we have to wait a couple weeks to see how this all pans out. But I really do think people are trying to work towards solutions. I don't think there's any public statements being made yet until, you know, people are finished negotiating and getting to where they're going to get. I'm cautiously hopeful that the Third Avenue will be safer as a result of this action, and I'm sorry that it had to come to this.
I am as well. All right. Your Honor, I appreciate your time as always. Thanks for coming on with me again.
Well, again, I appreciate you bringing attention to this issue. Thank you very much.
You bet. King County Presiding Court, Superior Court Judge James Rogers joining us. I'd love to hear your thoughts. You can text me at 98973. That's 98973. The Dory Monson Show rolls on.